You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
You're here today because today we are continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called What's Next. And here's the idea of the series. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, and that's a good way of thinking about your relationship with God, it is much like a journey. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, there's always a next step. And I think sometimes we have a sense of where we want to be in life. I think in every sphere of our lives, relationally, financially, our careers, but certainly spiritually, we have this sense of, I know the kind of Christian I want to be. I know the kind of relationship I want to have with God. I want to be close to Him, and I know the person I want to be, the person of faith I want to be. Sometimes the question is like, how do I get there? And here's the good news that we've been saying the last few weeks. You don't have to have it all figured out. God is just calling you to take the next step. There's always a next step in God's plan for your life. And so let me just recap where we've been. In week one, we talked about the very first step, and that is to know God. Not just to know about God, not just to be a religious person, but to know God, to have a personal relationship with Him. That's something He wants for every one of us. He actually wants to have a relationship with you, to live with a sense of God's presence in your life. So we all have to have that, to know God. Then last week we talked about finding freedom. The next step is to find freedom. And the idea is that God doesn't want you just limping through life, just barely making it, like your soul is saved, but Your life is a mess, and it's the same old habits, same old hang-ups, same old addictions, same old negative patterns of thinking. You know, God wants more for you. God wants you to be walking in healing and freedom so that you can embrace the next step, which is we're going to talk about today, and that is to discover purpose. Can we get a little crowd participation? Let's all say it. 1, 2, 3. Discover purpose. That's our step for today. You really can't do that unless you've kind of built sequentially, knowing God and then walking in freedom. All of that leads to this next important step that we're going to talk about for all of us today. That is to discover purpose. Now, hold that thought for just a minute. A few weeks ago, Amy and I were in South Florida for a pastor's conference that we go to every year. And we flew into Fort Myers and we went down to baggage claim and got our bags. And when we stepped out of the airport, it was a steamy, humid, hot night in South Florida, and my glasses fogged up. I was wearing my glasses on the plane, and I had to stop and wipe my glasses off because I could not see my hand in front of my face. And then I got over to the rental car facility, and I stepped into the air conditioning, and my glasses fogged back up. I had to stop and wipe them off before I got to the counter. And then we got out to the rental car, and I got in the car. I went out from the heat into the car, turned on the car, air conditioning comes on. My glasses fogged up. I had to stop because, like, literally, you did not want me driving. Like, I could not see anything. And here's the whole point. Here's the point. You are looking at life through a lens. Did you know that? Every one of us, you are looking at life through a lens, and that lens determines how you see everything. So if your lenses are foggy, if they're not clear, you're gonna have foggy vision. I can tell you one thing, I'm looking at all of you right now through some corrective lenses right now. If you take these glasses off of me, you're gonna have to lead me around by my hand because I'm as blind as a bat, okay? We're all looking at life through a lens, every one of us. And some people are going through this life and they're looking at life through the lens of hurt. They're looking at life through the lens of disappointment. They're looking at life through the lens of unreal expectations. Some people are going through life and they're looking at life through the lens of all these lies that they've told themselves, things they've believed about themselves. And I want you to know this today, like we need a God-given vision for our lives. Like we need clarity for our lives. In fact, here's what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says. I love this from the Message paraphrase. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. If people can't see what God is doing, if they don't have a revelation from God, a clear vision from God, they end up stumbling all over themselves. And I think that describes a lot of people. A lot of people are just stumbling through life, stumbling through their relationships, stumbling through their marriage if they're married, stumbling through their finances, stumbling through their career, stumbling through their emotions. Their emotions are just all over the place. Come on, how many of you know somebody like that? They're just all over the place. Don't nudge the person next to you. That's not nice. This is a judgment-free zone. We're not that kind of church. I'm just saying. But we all know somebody like that. We've all been in seasons like that where it just feels like we're stumbling. If people can't see what God is doing, if they don't have a God-given vision for their lives, they end up stumbling all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that life is going to not have any problems or they're going to be rich. But it means that they're blessed. There's a sense of God's purpose, God's favor, guiding their steps. And so, church, I want to tell you today, we need clarity. Every one of us, we need a God-given vision for our lives. This is what brings true fulfillment. I said it last week. I want to say it to you again. If you don't hear anything else I say today, God has so much more for your life. God has so much more for your life, and it starts with a God-ordained vision for your life. And so here's the question. If God has so much more for us, if God has a great purpose for us, if his kingdom is so big and we get to be a part of something that's so much greater than just ourselves, why do we struggle with this so much? Why do Christians struggle so much with stepping into and embracing our God-given purpose? Well, I want to give you a few ideas, a few enemies of your purpose. And you might want to put this in your notes today, a few enemies of your purpose, things that come against your purpose. Here's the first one, confusion. Confusion. Like some people are just confused about their purpose. I mean, some people are well up in years and they've never taken the time to really discern, like, what are my true gifts? Like, what am I really gifted at? Like, what are my passions, right? Like, how am I wired on the inside? What are my spiritual gifts? There are many people who are just confused about what God has called them to do, what purpose he's placed in them specifically. The second one, another enemy of our purpose is comparison. Comparison. We compare our purpose to everybody else's. We end up wanting everybody else's purpose. We go on social media and we see their amazing life and we want their life. We want their perfect spouse. We want their perfect house, their perfect car, and the perfect vacations they're going on. Newsflash, their life ain't so perfect. Social media is all of our highlight reel. Let's be honest. You're comparing your worst moments to somebody's highlight reel, right? I look at my own life on Facebook. I'm like, I want that guy's life. I look at pictures on Instagram. I'm like, I'm always on vacation, hanging out in New York City. What does Pastor Jeremy do? It's my highlight reel. Come on, if you knew most people's problems, you would not trade for their problems, would you? And so we end up comparing ourselves. We want everybody else's purpose, but God has a specific purpose for you. Here's the third enemy of your purpose, and that is counterfeit. Counterfeit. Many times people are pursuing a purpose that ends up being a counterfeit purpose. What does that mean? Well, it looks a lot like this. If I could just be in this kind of relationship with this kind of person, my life would be fulfilled. If I could just get on eharmony.com, hallelujah, find the perfect person. If I could just, you know, make this amount of money, I'll be good. If I could just live in this kind of house, have this kind of car, whatever. And I'm not saying that all of those things are wrong, but when you make them the end, you end up finding that they are counterfeit and they don't really fulfill you. See, here's the whole idea. If you're a person of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, it's about having a goal that's bigger than you. It's about your life becoming a means to an end. Many people want to be the end of themselves, but when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you recognize that you've been called to a purpose that's bigger than you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the glory of God. I love the words of the old Westminster Catechism. It's a series of questions and answers used to disciple Christians. And the first question is, what is the chief end of man? I love the formal language. What is the chief end of man? And the response is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Come on, your purpose is bigger than you. It's about your life glorifying God. It's about God using you for a purpose that's greater than you, bigger than you, and something that's going to outlast you. We're talking about eternal things. We're talking about the glory of God. Whatever you do with your life for the glory of God. Let me show you a few verses. The Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are God's handiwork." Some translations say God's workmanship. God's masterpiece. We are his handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Come on, before you ever knew him, God had work for you. He saw you. He had a purpose for you. He has some things like cut out that are designed just for you. Think about that. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? King David, the great psalmist, he said it this way in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16, he said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What a beautiful picture of God's purpose for a human being in the mother's womb. Like God saw you and began to plan your days. He had an assignment for you, a purpose over your life. It's like they were written in this book, this journal, this story that is your life. I want you to know today, church, like you are uniquely gifted. You're hardwired. You're created for a purpose. And we as a church want to help you discover your purpose. We're that kind of church. We want to bless you and release you to step into being everything that God has called you to be. And can I just say today, that's why we've created the Growth Track. That's why we want to invite you today after this service to come join us for Growth Track. Today's session is Discover Your Place, but it's really all about discovering your purpose. That's what it's about. In this session, what we do is we do a personality profile, the DISC profile, to help you really kind of have some language for how you're wired. It's super helpful in understanding yourself and how you relate to other people. We do a spiritual gifts assessment. Some of you have never really done anything like that. And it helps you just kind of confirm some of the gifts that God may have placed in you. We do a passions assessment to really help you get a sense of like, what am I wired to do? Like, what is it like when I do that thing, I'm in my zone. And I just want to encourage you. Some of you have heard this announcement over and over again, and you thought it was for someone else, and you thought we were trying to sign you up for something. No, this is our gift to you. Like, come join us for an hour today after this service. Invest in yourself and learn about your purpose. We want to bless you. Because here's the idea I want to give you today to put in your notes. God's design in me reveals God's destiny for me. That's what this session's designed to help you do today, discover your purpose, because God's design in me, the way God designed me, helps reveal God's destiny for me. And so we want to step into our destiny. Come on, how many of you want to step into God's destiny for your life? Okay, three of you. The rest of you are going to get there. The caffeine is going to kick in. I'm believing for the faith level in this room to go up a little bit. Come on, somebody. How many of you want to step in to everything that God has for you? That's what I'm talking about. And so maybe if you're dissatisfied in life, maybe it's because you're pursuing something that you weren't made for. Maybe if you're not living in full, like this sense of like, I'm fully in my stride. You know, I'm not talking about your life being perfect. You're never going to get there. But I'm talking about like knowing like I'm in this place of fulfillment. Maybe it's because you're chasing after things that don't represent what God wired you for, because it's his design for your life that reveals his destiny for you. So you ought to put a little work in discovering that design. So Growth Track ought to be jam-packed today. You ought to get in there and spend some time learning about how God has wired you. I'm telling you, you're going to learn some things about yourself. And here's some of the questions we ask you. Like, what are your abilities? What are your gifts? Like, what are your desires? What are your motivations? What drives you? What do people see in you? What do people see? Sometimes we can't see it for ourselves, but other people see things in us. They see our effectiveness. What is it? Where are you effective? What naturally comes to you? Like, when you do it, like, God's blessing is just on that. Those are some of the questions we're going to ask you today. So come to Growth Track. That's designed to help you. You know, our life-giving Sunday mornings are there to help you with that first step, knowing God. And we have life groups that you can get into to help you really find freedom, where you have some brothers and sisters to pray for you, to help you in your journey of freedom. Growth Track is designed to help you discover your purpose. We want to help you find your place in our church, but first we want to help you discover your purpose. So here's what I want to do today. I want to give you three ways that we see in Scripture that God helps people discover their purpose. I want to invite you to take some notes. This is a great time to get out the Redemption app. If you don't have it, you can get it at our website, because on the app is a spot where you can take notes every week, and you can go back and pray over these notes and use it as a devotional during the week, because we don't want you to forget what you learned on a Sunday morning. So three ways that God helps people discover their purpose. This isn't an exhaustive list. There are other lists, but other ways in Scripture. But three ways from Scripture that will help, that we see God helping people discover their purpose. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Number one, one of the first ways we see in Scripture that God helps people discover their purpose is the call from birth. The call from birth. What does that mean? Well, that's the sense of like, when I was a kid, I really felt like I was supposed to be a teacher. I really felt like I was supposed to be a doctor. I really felt like I was supposed to help people. Come on, it's that God-given gift that's been in you since you were a kid. God put it there. How else did it get in there, right? That's the call from birth. Like some of you, like ever since I was a kid, I always had a gift for helping other people. I always had a gift for making people laugh. I always had a gift for fixing things, right? That's what we're talking about, the call from birth, like things God placed in you that really nobody ever taught you. They're just God-given things that have been in there since the day you were born. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of this in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. He says this, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was saying, like, before I was even born, like, God had a word over my life. Like, God saw me. God formed me. God knew me. God had an assignment for my life, gifts in my life before I was even born. Come on, somebody came to church this morning, and I've got good news I want to speak over your life. God formed you. God knows you. God set you apart, and God has appointed you. You ought to just grab a hold of that scripture and say, God, that's for me. God, that's for me. And, you know, sometimes what we do is we disqualify ourselves from God using us. We disqualify ourselves from embracing our purpose and what God has called us to do because we say things like, "Oh, pastor, if you only know the mistakes I've made, if you only knew what I've been through, if you only knew the sins that I'm struggling with, and I'm not a Bible scholar, and I'm not a pastor like you," and we can end up disqualifying ourselves. And do you know Jeremiah wrestled with the same thing? Look at this. This is what it goes on to say, Jeremiah 1, 6 through 8. Here's what Jeremiah's response. "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Come on, everybody's got some excuse. "I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not perfect. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny," whatever. Verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." Here's the key, verse 8. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Come on, don't disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself. God is saying it was never really about you. It's about what I can do through you. Come on, don't underestimate what I can do with you and through you that you can never do for yourself. It's kind of the whole point, because when I show up and show off in your life, you don't get the credit because everybody knows you weren't capable of that, but it's how I'm working through you. Come on, don't disqualify yourself. We have all of these excuses, all of these reasons why God can't use us. And for some of you, like, you've had a gift ever since you were born. God placed a gift on the inside of you, and you know it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's something in there. And maybe for some of you over the years, you've kind of drifted away from it. You didn't end up in a career where you're getting to use it, or you're not finding opportunities around you. And you need to, can I just encourage you, you need to dust that gift off. God is speaking to you today. You came to church this morning to hear this. It's not about reinventing yourself. It's not about you being somebody that you aren't. It's about you being the version of you that God called you to be. Not someone else's gift, your gift. You need to dust it off and reclaim it because it's been there. And if you look back through your whole life, you know it's always been there. And you're going to find satisfaction. You're going to find fulfillment when you step into it. You know, as I look back on my own life, ever since I was a kid, I can see God's hand on my life. This morning as we were singing about the goodness of God, I got a little bit choked up because I look back and I see his hand on my life. And here's the truth. I'm one of four boys. I got three brothers. Out of all of my brothers, I would have been voted least likely to become a pastor. I was rebellious. I was always getting in trouble. I was raised in hell. I would have been voted least likely. But I'll tell you, God's hand was on me because I always had a soft heart. I always had a soft heart toward him. And other people saw it. Other people saw it for me sometimes when I couldn't see it for myself. And certainly my parents deserve a lot of credit for seeing that and praying over me. But I was thinking about my freshman year of high school when I was probably at the height of being a pain in the butt in life. I'm just saying. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, first period, I had general science. I had an old cranky teacher named Miss Laborde. And I used to drive her crazy. And I remember getting kicked out of her class. And I would go sit in another science teacher's class. It was her off period, Miss Williams. Miss Williams was an African-American believer. I mean, she kind of had that gospel kind of spirit about her. And she didn't have anybody in her class. And she'd say, "You can come sit in my class, young man." And she'd say, "You know what? You're going to turn out to be just fine. God's hand's upon you. He's going to use you, son." She used to speak that over me. She'd prophesy that over me. Come on. She saw God's hand on my life. And that came back to me all these years later. And there's a little side note in there, by the way, especially parents, speak words of life over your kids. They will come back. But it's the call from birth. It's a gift that he's put in you. It's one of the ways you discover your purpose, that gift that God has given you that's been there your whole life. Everybody has it. We want you to discover it. Here's the second thing. We're talking about how God, ways that God helps people discover their purpose. The second one is a growing awareness, a growing awareness. What does that mean? Well, that means discovering purpose, it becomes incremental. It's an incremental discovery. So there's that, you know, in one way, there's that gift you've had since birth. Here's one that's kind of being revealed to you throughout your life. And a really good example of that is the story of Joseph from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. If you've never read the story of Joseph, you've got to go to the book of Genesis and read his story. One of the most inspirational stories in all of Scripture. But Joseph was a son of the patriarchs. You know, there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob was his father. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was his favorite son. This is Joseph who had the coat of many colors. And so Joseph, God's hand was upon him. He began to have these dreams from God where he symbolically saw all of his brothers bowing down to him. He saw the moon and the sun and the stars bowing down to him. And he was stupid enough to tell his brothers about it. He was kind of stupid enough, crazy enough to tell his brothers about him, about these dreams. And they started hating him. And eventually in one episode, they threw him in the bottom of a well. Now, side note, sermon for another time. Be careful who you share your God-given dreams with because you might end up in the bottom of a well. I'm just saying. Don't share them with people too prematurely, all right? Wait for some good timing. So he ends up in the bottom of a well. Then they sell him off into slavery in Egypt. And then he gets to Egypt. And the scripture says over and over again, God's hand was with him. So he ends up becoming in charge of this Egyptian official, Potiphar, his whole household. Eventually, Potiphar's wife has her eye on Joseph. She tries to seduce him. He has nothing to do with it, but she accuses him. And he ends up in prison. Like, this guy can't catch a break. Every time he turns around, he's either in the bottom of a well, he's in a prison. And it seems like everything in his life is going the opposite direction of the dream and the purpose that God gave him. And I think for many of you, you can resonate with that because you might say to me, well, I felt like God had a purpose for my life. The truth is, Pastor Jeremy, ever since I was a young kid, like I always felt like God's hand was on me and there was something I wanted to do for him. But along the path of life, like I took different turns and things came up unexpectedly. And sometimes I feel like at every turn I've gone the wrong direction and it didn't end up where I thought I would be. That's exactly what happened to Joseph. But here's what we find in Joseph's story, that God redeems all of the wrong turns for his purpose. All of the wrong turns for his purpose. Because later on, as Joseph is in jail, we begin to see that he had this gift for interpreting dreams. Like, he interprets dreams, and how he interprets them, it comes to pass. He's got this prophetic gifting, and the Pharaoh eventually finds out about it, and he's called to Pharaoh's court to interpret a dream, a very important dream. And he does, and he tells Pharaoh that a famine's going to come to Egypt and to start storing up grain and to make plans. And Pharaoh sees the hand of God on Joseph and puts him as the second in charge of all of Egypt. Come on, he goes from the pit to the palace. He's the second in charge over all of Egypt, and God uses him. And what happens is this famine hits, and all the surrounding nations would have starved to death. But because Joseph was used by God, they come to Egypt to buy grain. And even his family, his own brothers who sold him into slavery, they come to Egypt. He's reunited with his brothers, and it's a dramatic story. Oh, it gets me every time. It's a dramatic story. But toward the end of the story, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And they think, oh my gosh, our brother's going to kill us because it's him. Like, we sold him off into slavery. We deserve whatever he does to us. And look at what Joseph says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It is just this like emotional, climactic moment. And he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, Joseph had a growing awareness of God's purpose. It didn't all make sense at first. I'm sure there were times when he was sitting in prison, in that jail cell, in the bottom of a well, and it didn't make any sense, but there was a growing awareness. And for some of you, I want to say this. You thought that divorce, you thought that bankruptcy, you thought that shame was just meant to harm you, but God intended it for good. Come on, he didn't send it into your life, but he's the God who can redeem anything that comes into your life. He's the God who recycles every adversity. He can turn it into a ministry, and he works all things together for your good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Come on. It's an unfolding plan. There's an unfolding plan. There may be some twists and some turns in the plot of your life that didn't make sense, that don't make sense. But over the years, as you look back, you can see God's faithfulness, can't you? Come on, those of you who have a little experience in life, you can say, okay, God, I can see why you closed that door. Okay, God, I can see why you moved that person out of my life. Oh, thank you, Lord, you moved that person out of my life. I didn't understand it at that time. I can see why maybe that happened, and I can see how, God, you redeemed it. You grew me. You made me stronger. You made me wiser. You made me better. Come on, don't misinterpret what you're going through in life. God can, he can take pain. There's purpose in the pain. He's a God who redeems it all. Nothing goes to waste with him. And there can be a growing awareness of your purpose in him. The key is not to miss the lessons. The key is not to just keep repeating the same old painful seasons over again, but to learn and glean and get the purpose out of it. Are you with me? Is this helping anybody this morning? Here's the third thing, okay? The third thing, we're talking about some ways that God helps people discover their purpose, some ways that we see in Scripture. The third thing is walking through open doors. Walking through open doors. Sometimes there's a sense of a call from birth, a gift that's been there your whole life. That's an indicator of your purpose. Sometimes it's the experiences of your life. It's what you've been through, your life experience. Like somebody needs your story. That's part of your purpose. The third thing is walking through open doors. See, God can only reveal his purpose in your life when you step through an opportunity, when you step through an open door. Sometimes you'll never know what God has for you until you step through an open door, because your purpose lies on the other side of an open door. And you got to have faith to step through that door. You got to walk through some open doors. A great example of this is the story of Queen Esther in the Old Testament. Queen Esther, her original name was Hadassah. She was a Jewish exile. Her and her cousin Mordecai, they were exiles, and they lived in the city of Susa. And they had this king, King Xerxes, this pagan kingdom that they lived in. And King Xerxes got frustrated with his wife, Queen Vashti, and he decided to look for a new wife. And so he held this beauty pageant, basically. And there were all of these young virgins in the kingdom who participated in this beauty pageant. And Esther, she was renowned for her beauty, this beautiful Jewish girl. The king picked her out of all of these young virgins to become the next queen. Now, nobody knew she was a Jewish girl here in this kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And so she becomes the queen, and God's favor is on her. You can obviously see God's favor is on her and on her cousin Mordecai, but there's a whole subplot unfolding in the backdrop of her story, and that is there's an official in the king's court, in the kingdom, this man named Haman, who was hatching a plot to destroy all of the Jews. In fact, this has happened on more than one occasion all throughout world history. People try to destroy the Jews, and God shows up and rescues his people. And so there's this moment where Mordecai, he uncovers Haman's like devious plot to destroy his people. And he goes to Queen Esther because he recognizes the call of God. He recognizes the open door, and he goes to her and basically says, like, you've got to make a decision, because it seems like God's hand, his hand is upon you and given you an opportunity. Look at this, Esther chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is what her cousin Mordecai says to her. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Your father's lineage and line will perish with you. Listen to these words. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. God's hand is upon you, Esther. He raised you up. He put you in this spot for this open door. And some of you, you've been in a season of life where it's a for such a time as this season. Like for some of you, like God has put opportunities in front of you, but you're never going to fully step into your purpose until you walk through one of those doors. In fact, I would venture to say that for some of you, you've been in a season of life where you're a little bit frustrated about your purpose. Like, I don't feel like I'm fully walking in everything that God has, you know, given me and called me to do. And I'm not being fully using my gifts. And I know there's more for my career and these dreams and goals he's put on the inside of me, but you're walking past open doors. At some point in time, you got to step out and take a leap of faith and walk through that open door. At some point in time, you got to start that business. At some point in time, you got to take a leap of faith and go back to graduate school. I know it's been a long time, but you've had a dream to get that graduate degree. At some point in time, you got to ask that person out. Come on. You got to take a leap of faith to step into that thing that God has for you. You got to go after it. You got to go after that goal, that God-ordained goal in your life. At some point in time, you got to step out and serve. You want to activate your purpose? Get signed up today for the serve event and go out and get your focus on God using you to bless someone else. That's an open door you can walk through. Watch how God stirs something up in your life when you get your eyes off of yourself and you get your eyes on serving someone else. You know, this past week in our pastor's meeting, Pastor Jim was sharing a little bit about just being available to God. He just gave a testimony to us in our pastor's meeting on how he was just available to God in a season when God was asking him to say yes. And if you don't know it, many of you only know Pastor Jim as a pastor, but he was in senior management for Thomson Reuters and had a career, a busy career in publishing, busy just like many of you. But God, he just was open to God. God, I'm available, whatever you'd have me to do. And just served his way right into being the pastoral care pastor of this church. And I think for some of you, sometimes you look at somebody like that, but and you think I could never be like that. But Pastor Jim, he was like many of you, just working a career. He just got to this place like, God, if you open a door, I'm going to walk through it. How many of you have been blessed by Pastor Jim's prayers, by greeting you at the front door, loving on you, loving your family, right? There's an example. Step through an open door and step into your purpose. Step into your purpose. Come on, I want to tell you this morning, church, God created you on purpose for a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. I'm going to say it one more time till it gets in your spirit. Maybe you want to just say it with me. God created you on purpose for a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. You're not what anybody said about you. Don't let someone else define your story. God's hand is upon you, and God has so much more for you. Come on, his purpose for your life, it's so much bigger than you just making some money and finding the perfect job and living in the perfect house and driving the perfect car and going on perfect vacations with perfect kids, going to perfect private schools. Come on, God has so much more for you. We're talking about big things. We're talking about his kingdom. We're talking about your life being used for his glory, for eternal things that will outlast you. Come on, if you don't believe it, I believe it for you. And some of those things are wonderful, but I'm going to tell you what, if you make those things the end game, you will end up being dissatisfied. You will end up walking around with a hole in your heart because God has a purpose for your life. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to bless someone else. He wants to use your gifting for his glory, your career, your finances, your talents, your gift for his glory. What is your life aimed at? What is your life aimed at? Come on, let's make it about his purpose. And I want to just tell you this morning, never underestimate the power of just giving your yes to Jesus. I know for many of you, it seems overwhelming. Like, where do I start? What does that look like? You know, and Pastor Jim, I hear you saying this, but you're a pastor. You're in a special category. You hear from God, whatever. No. Never underestimate the power of just giving your yes to Jesus. Can I tell you, at 16 years old, I grew up in a pastor's house, but at 16 years old, I was at a summer camp, youth camp in Louisiana, and I gave my yes to Jesus for the first time for me. Like, this can't just be my parents' faith. This can't just be because I grew up in church, but God, I'm giving you my yes. 16 years old, God, I'm giving you my life. And I knew right then and there, it was more than just being saved. I knew, God, I'm giving you my life. Whatever you ask me to do is when I felt called to ministry. And I can't tell you, I had it all figured out. I was just a young kid getting ready to go into my senior year of high school, but I just kept giving Jesus my yes. I remember when I had a sense that I was supposed to drop out of state school that I was in and go to Bible college. And I just said, Jesus, I give you my yes. And I went off to Bible college. And I think about when something was stirring in me and I was teaching full time and I felt like God was asking me to leave my teaching job to go into full time ministry, take a leap of faith, take a financial leap. And I just said, yes. I just said, yes, didn't have it all figured out. And I remember when God put it in our hearts to come up to New York, I felt like God was opening a door. And I just said, God, I don't have it all figured out. It gets pretty cold up there in New York. It's a long ways away from home for me. And they don't have crawfish up there, but I'm going to go. I grew up in Louisiana. I'm just saying. And I just gave God my yes. Just gave him my yes. And I'll never forget when he put it in my heart to plant this church, to pull up and move across the state and go somewhere that I didn't know and reach people that I didn't know and trust him with my life and my finances and my family and everything. And I was scared. In fact, at every step along the way, I was scared. There was never a point where I had all the answers. I had all the faith. I had all the resources. But here's what I kept doing. Jesus, I give you my yes. I give you my yes. Never underestimate the power of giving Jesus your yes. He will use you to do greater things than you ever thought he could do, because it's not about you. It's about what he can do through you and with you that you could never do for yourself. And so that's our prayer today, church. Jesus, I'm giving you my yes. God, I want your purpose for my life. I want everything you would have for my life. I don't want to settle for something second best. I don't want to settle for keeping up with the Joneses and living life the way everybody else has defined success. God, I want my life to be used for your kingdom, for your glory, for your purpose. And I'm telling you, that's a life of fulfillment. That is a life of fulfillment. The blessing of God will come upon you. Those who have a clear revelation from God, who have clarity for their lives, the blessing of God will be upon you. And I'm telling you, surrounded by many people in these rows and chairs who they've discovered God's purpose for their life, and they'll tell you it's a life that's fulfilling. Amen? Come on, why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you. Stand with me. And that's our simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my yes. Jesus, I give you my yes. Would you just bow your heads in prayer with me? The worship team's coming back in just a moment. If you're new to our church, this is just a moment to make this personal, to take the message and make it personal. It's a moment between us and God, and to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? For some of you, it's an open door. For some of you, it's dusting off a gift that's been there. For some of you, it's reconsidering your story and looking at it and seeing God's faithfulness in your life and recognizing all that he's taught you, all that he's done in your life and the wisdom that you've gained. And it's seeing his purpose, his hand upon you, knowing that someone needs your story. For some of you today, it's saying yes to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. Like there's something inside of you that would say, Pastor Jeremy, I want to know God that way. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me. You just say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to give you my life. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for every person in this room. God, I thank you that each person in this room, God, you saw them in their mother's womb. God, before they were born, you had a plan for them, God, and you've gifted them and you've wired them with passions and desires and experiences that you've given them, Father. You want to use them for your glory, God, for your kingdom, Father. And so today, Lord, we just say yes. We just give you our yes today. Would you say that with me? Jesus, I give you my yes, God, that you would use me, that you would use my life for your glory, God. Father, I pray for the person who feels so far away from you today, but even as I speak to them, there's a stirring in their heart. God, we believe that you're drawing them to yourself, your gracious love. You're drawing people to yourself today by your Spirit. And I believe there are some people in this room under the sound of my voice, you've never taken that leap of faith to say, Jesus, I place my trust in you. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you went to religious ed classes. Maybe you went to Sunday school. But we're talking about you having a personal moment where you say, Jesus Christ, I place my faith in you. If that's you, I want you to pray with me. Jesus, I give you my yes. I place my faith in you today. I give my life to you. I choose to believe that you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you came to this earth for me, you live for me, you died for me, you were resurrected that I might have new life. I place my trust in you today. I turn from my sins and I give you my life and I make you my Lord and Savior. Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer, every person who recommitted themselves in their hearts today to give our lives to you. God, our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.